Hey, Adam Smolcom here, lead pastor of Vive Church. Welcome to our podcast. I pray that God will speak to you through the message today and that a greater level of faith would be unlocked in your life. God bless.
Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. How many people love Jesus this morning? Awesome. How many people love when our just pastor and worship team just minister, right? I ask some people sometimes, you know, what's your favorite part of the service today? And some people would tell me, oh, that part where Pastor Adam rapped. I'm like, when did he rap? And then I realized that a unique part of this house is just how the Holy Spirit flows and how in worship there is not just a formula, there is a format, but we let the Holy Spirit flow in the house. And I think that's just so beautiful, a unique part of what we get to be part of here at Vive. But like Pastor Adam said, I have the privilege to be able to preach today and build upon this series. Everybody enjoy installment one of Breaking Bad Connections. You said something, Pastor Adam. You need to correct some things before you connect some things. I think that is powerful. If you didn't catch that, you need to podcast it. But today, I'm building up on that and on top of it with this topic we're going to tackle today, breaking bad habits. Any people got bad habits in the house today? Yeah. I'm talking to 25% in the room. I'm going to talk to 100% by the end of this sermon. But I was honestly super excited when Pastor Adam said, hey, you're going to be preaching on breaking bad habits. I was looking forward to it until earlier this week, I realized I still got some bad habits. So I don't preach to you today from perfection, but I preach because I'm a WIP, a work in progress. So we're going to get free together. We're going to unpack his word. Amen. And I want to, as you stay standing for a little bit more, I want to read a verse to you as we unpack God's word and get some tools from the legend himself, Paul, in Ephesians 4, 21 through 30 in the New Living Translation version. It says this: so you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Paul is straight in it. He's like, break some bad habits, right? Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, somebody say instead. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Then Paul gets real practical. He says, stop lying. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. I've never done that before. Right, babe? For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Can I get an amen in this place? What a powerful presentation that Paul is proposing to us, that we can literally leave the old patterns. We can literally leave our old self and take on our new nature. But this is the question I'm struggling with. That sounds good, Paul, but how do I actually break bad habits when I know in reality my willpower is weak? Like, I want to break these bad habits. I've now, because of the Holy Spirit, identified I have some bad habits. I mean, identification is a first step. But how do I break it if I know very well my willpower is weak? So I want to tackle this together this morning, but let's pray one more time. Amen. Lord God, I thank you, God, for this opportunity that we get to unpack your word. I pray that as we unpack it, we get free together this morning, that those things that are not righteous, those things that are not of you, that's holding us back from our calling and purpose in life, would you empower us through your Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom and the insights and the very real tools that we need to break these things off so we can really pursue you. I pray right now, tonight, for Team Giannis, that they would receive victory over Team LeBron, because I'm a LeBron hater. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen, amen. High five five people before you take your seat. Amazing, amazing. You guys feeling good? Quick question for everybody here in Palo Alto, online, and all of our campuses this morning. Has anybody ever been in a fight before? Okay, we have 10 people in Palo Alto. Apparently, you don't marry people in the house, Pastor Adam. I've been in, my fair share of lively debates before. But I'm not talking about that fight today, because how many know there is a difference between a bad fight and a good fight? Right, you've heard the term fight the good fight, right? There's a difference between negative fights and positive fights, fights that are productive. And one fight that I love to engage in is this fight I've come accustomed to, which is fighting for the bill. Nobody's excited to fight for the bill this morning. Come on, we got a generous church. We got a generous church here at Vive. And I get it. Maybe you're not excited to fight for the bill this morning because your heart wants to be generous. It's just your bank balance doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Because Kim and I, when we first moved down to the Bay Area, we had just graduated, just kind of finished paying off some student loan. We had just got married, so we paid for a wedding, and we paid for moving costs to come here to expensive San Jose. So we were broke as a joke. Like, we didn't have anything coming down here. You can ask Pastor Adam. We live in a garage. In East San Jose, in a garage. And we had a 2x2 window, which like felt like prison. I mean, I don't know how, but it just felt like, and a shower that was built for one person. I mean, one Asian person, that is. And it was really, really, really great, in our marriage when we first got married. I mean, we're still married. But when we initially got married, because we can snuggle in the shower, but it wasn't very practical. And so I was just starting off my career, trying to build up some savings, you know what I mean? And Kim started a career teaching, not really making any money, not really holding her weight. But anyways, it's not about that. We didn't have much, but This really didn't stop her from putting me on notice that because we are now hashtag adulting, that every time we are having dinner or a meal with her family, that we are going to participate in this Asian tradition of fighting for the bill, right? Of being generous. And don't get me wrong, I was super excited to participate in this. It's just my checking account wasn't. And so I remember that, the first few times we would go out with her family. And mind you, this was not just her immediate family. This was every fam, win, and vo in East San Jose that would join us for these family dinners. And I don't get it because, they are so skinny, but kept ordering and ordering and ordering and ordering. And one of two things are happening in my mind. First is, okay, I have the potential of paying for this, so I'm gonna get mine. I'm gonna eat as much as I can. Second of all, how hard am I gonna actually fight for the bill, right? Like, I know you. Like, you do the slow, like, as a receipt comes. Oh, let's split. Oh, you shouldn't have. Like, are you sure? And I'm super thankful that those first few times I didn't win the bill because I would take a peek at the receipt and it was expensive. I mean, I could have covered it, but all my money was in my savings. So you know how it works. You have to like transfer it from your savings to your checking, and it was a weekend. So it takes about 3 days to, to make that transaction, but it was expensive. And the reason why I share this silly example with you, because you know what else is expensive? The amount of time and energy we spend on trying to break bad habits. The amount of willpower we spend trying to break bad habits. You know what I'm talking about. Those habits that you know that are bad that you need to break so that you can really fulfill the purpose and the calling that God has for you. Those habits that are unproductive. Those habits, those automated actions, those rhythms that you want to cut out of your life. I'm talking about pressing snooze 5 times in the morning with your alarm clock. I'm talking about waking up to Instagram every morning, filling your mind with anxiety. I'm talking about that daily late night dessert, checking your phone and email during family dinner, that negative thought pattern, proclivity to gossip, habit of complaining, that cadence of calling what you call bae, but that toxic relationship when you're feeling down, that rhythm of worry and anxiety, that addiction to that website, that substance, that shopping, that swipe. I was just trying to get San Francisco. Can anybody relate? These habits become the status quo. These habits become the regular tendency, the perpetual pattern that you just can't shake, break, or cut out. And Paul instructs us too. He says in the verse that we read, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Paul is literally saying, you heard about Jesus, right? He saved you, right? Now quit it. Stop those things that are not of God. How come I know I'm saved, but sometimes I don't feel like it? See, I want to break bad habits, Paul, but sometimes I just don't know how. But we know what's important, right? The Bible, actually, a major key of the Bible is self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and what? Self-control. Right? That 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Even your prayers have a prerequisite of some self-control and discipline. It's even the climactic fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Biblically, getting a hold of our discipline and applying self-control is a major key. But even scientifically, self-control is proven to help you be more successful in life. There was a scientist that recently got published in the New York Times, famously for doing a study 50 years ago with a group of preschoolers, five-year-olds, right? Five-year-olds that he would put individually in a room with the instruction and a sign that said, do not eat the dessert that he would lay in front of them. That's mean. And for 15 minutes, they would have to try to withhold and withdraw eating this dessert. And they would do studies because they would give them instructions, do not eat. And if you don't eat it in 15 minutes, we'll give you two. And they realized over the 50 years, they did this 50-year-long study that those five-year-olds that actually had more self-control, that delayed that gratification longer, ended up being more successful, earning more degrees, were thinner, hello. And ultimately were able to achieve better financial freedom. I thought that was so interesting that biblically self-control is emphasized, that scientifically self-control is proven, but how come it's so hard to break bad habits if we know that it's important to us, right? I want to leave the former things behind, Paul, but I can't seem to break it, so what do we do? I had the production team. They're going to help me preach today because I know that you're a visualist church. How many people love learning visually, right? And I got a bad habit up here. Maybe I can replicate the scientific experiment that this professor did. I have a bad habit represented by this chocolate cake. Yeah, I know you want a voo, our youth pastor. I know you want a bite. And I want to visualize this morning, if you're taking notes, I have three ways we try to break bad habits, and I want to compare it to how Paul teaches us how we sustainably break bad habits. But the first thing that we try to do when we break bad habits is we try to simply stop. Write that down. We try to simply stop. So we actually put some stop signs. This is actually from my house. Thanks, babe. It's worth it. It's worth it. Do not eat. That's what we tell ourselves, right? We put some stop signs. We put some roadblocks in the way we get an accountability partner. We try to put some safeguards on our browser experience. We try to do so many things to be a roadblock and a stop sign saying, do not eat. But how many know it's so easy to sidestep your stop sign? Oh, yeah. So easy. That was pretty easy. Yeah. That it's so easy to lie to an accountability partner. Wow. It's so easy to sidestep your spouse. Wow. It's so easy to sidestep these things in life so that ultimately you're going to partake of that habit. That simply stopping is one measure. But when we realize that the stop sign is merely a small obstacle you can overcome, to get back to your bad habit, we realize the insufficiency of this tactic. So we progress in our method, right? The progression of this method is we want to hide our habit. That's the next progression, that we want to cover it up, right? Out of sight, out of mind. I don't know where the cake is. You try to change your setting, right? You want to get rid of soda, so take it out of the refrigerator. The funny thing is that you can take the soda out of your house, but you can't take it out of the movie theater. That when your behavior is based on a change of setting, then you are now controlled by your circumstance. Because you can't control all of your circumstances. And the funny thing, the hilarious thing about hiding your habit is because you're the one that is hiding your habit, you know how to find your habit. It's right there. I knew where it was. We try to hide our habit. Okay. All right, we got to get smarter about this. All right, for real this time. 2019, all right? 2019 is my year. I'm gonna break this bad habit. So what do we do now? Man, simply stopping didn't work. Hiding our habit didn't work. So I'm gonna just lay all the punch. I'm gonna fight my habit. Hashtag this my year. Hashtag on my grind. Hashtag it's a lifestyle. And we pull out all the stops. I'm gonna crush 10 self-help podcasts. I'm gonna read 10 self-help and improvement books. I'm gonna go to a self-improvement seminar. I'm gonna do everything that I can to fight this thing. I'm gonna fight it. Man, you don't got control over me. I'm gonna fight you. Man, you look good though. We fight. And don't realize that it actually works against us, because the more that we fight, the more that we think about it. I'm fighting, but I start to realize if this LED was my mind, I start realizing that I'm so focused on the behavior, I didn't realize my thoughts are so much bigger. My thoughts are so much all-consuming. My thoughts are actually the start of my pattern and my habit. That I fight until I get fatigued. I get tired and I mess up and I make another mistake. But what if the key was this, my mind? That the Bible says, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So if I can fix my mind, maybe I can fix my actions. See, I feel like sometimes we're so focused on trying to break our behavior that we didn't realize our habit starts in our mind. What if our focus is a little too much on the behavior and not enough on who we've become in Christ? See, how the Bible teaches us about breaking bad habits, and I'm going to transition to this last, more sustainable point of trying to break bad habits after the failed attempts that we've had, is what the Bible teaches us, what God teaches us, what Paul is trying to emphasize is much less about behavior modification and much more about self-identification. Do you know who you are? Do you know your identity? Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly holy and righteous. Put on your new nature. Put on your new identity. Do you know who you are? Let me remind you, because it's like a theme in Ephesians. This is why it's my favorite book, because Paul is trying to get our identity right. He says, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared for you beforehand that you might do and walk in. Do you know who you are? That what does it mean to be his workmanship? That you are his masterpiece. You are his poetry in motion. You are his best work. You are created by him, in him, and for him to do some pretty amazing things. See, when it comes to breaking bad habits, write this down, knowing who you are And what he has for you is so much more important than relying on your own willpower. See, when Paul reminds us the power of throwing away our old nature and putting on our new nature, he doesn't just remind us about the Holy Spirit's power, but how it actually plays out practically. He gives us some very practical tools in the verse that we just read. What he actually shows us, it's not for you to just break off some things, but what are you breaking it off for? Watch this. He says, you struggling with lying? Stop. But start telling the truth, because you're not a liar anymore. In Christ, you're a truth teller. You struggling with stealing? Stop. But start giving, because in Christ, you're not a thief anymore. You are a kingdom builder. You keep talking negative and saying abusive words, that's not you anymore. Start encouraging, because you're not a person that breaks people down in Christ. You are a person that builds people up. When you identify with Christ, you become a Christian, a little Christ. He gives you a new identity. This is your new nature now. That we're so focused on, I need to stop. We're so focused on, I need to stop. And Paul is saying, you're so focused on needing to stop, don't forget to spin. Don't forget to turn around. Don't forget to go towards what I called you to do. Because here's the thing, this is so powerful. This is better than any self-help seminar, because when you spin and turn around, you inherently turn towards. When you turn away, when you put off your old nature, you take on your new nature. This will help you, because I'm not going to look at those websites anymore, because I'm husband material. I'm not going to keep ignoring my kids anymore, because I'm working to be a good father. I'm not going to answer that text message anymore, because I have a beautiful wife in front of me. I'm not going to be stuck in these patterns and these habits. I have a handle on them now, because I'm going towards the things of God. And I love how Paul talks about speaking truth, because as you walk away from the lie of the enemy, all of a sudden you walk in the truth that he has for you, that you are in Christ Jesus, created to do good works. You start saying, what habit? What habit? Do you know who you are? Identity is so powerful. And I'll close with this as the band comes back up. But you know what? Like, when I finally started to get a healthy regimen and kind of a rhythm of fitness in my life, it was the moment that I stopped thinking that I was unfit trying to be fit. It was a moment I renewed my mind, telling myself I am fit with unfit tendencies sometimes. That when I actually get my identity right, all of a sudden my actions follow. Identity is so powerful. We were in the Holy Land, like you saw earlier today, and I saw this in full display in the culture within Israel, specifically Jerusalem, where we spent most of our time. Because there, identity is so powerful. You ever think that, you know, when you subscribe to a religion, so if you're a practicing Jew, what's so interesting that I observed is that I don't think every single day practicing Jews are debating whether or not they should eat pork. It's just who they are, right? And I saw these identity wars starting to happen, right? You had every religion represented in Jerusalem, literally all in the same quarters, all in the same vicinity, a pretty confined space, trying to out-religion each other. And you had the height of self-control. You had the height of self-discipline. I'm talking about self-denial. They throw fashion out the table. They throw some food out the table. They throw their own time out the table. They take out responsibility from their life so that they can just focus on the repetition and the religion, and they try to out-religion each other. And so what I saw firsthand is the height of self-denial, self-control, and dying to yourself. And I was struggling with this message because what could be interpreted is, okay, we gotta be more disciplined. We gotta have more self-control. I gotta break these bad habits. But what I saw firsthand is at the height of self-control, at the height of religion, that when you die to yourself and have nothing to live for, that's empty and dead religion. And so we got out of Jerusalem and we kind of snuck away to where Jesus snuck away a lot of times. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you don't know the Bible, that's okay, but this is the garden where in the Mountain of Olives, Jesus would escape many, many times to get away from the hustle, get away from the religiosity, get away from the bustle, and he would pray. It's a beautiful scene because you could see this city and the people that he would ultimately die for, he would pray for. And he would escape to this place. And in a famous scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we're kind of shooting this film project, and I'm thinking about how my willpower is weak, right? I'm thinking about how, man, I need to die to myself more. I got this revelation that Jesus already died. Jesus died for me so that I could live for him. That literally, he paid the price. He paid the penalty. So when Paul says you are now identified with him, you now take on his nature. You take on all the things that he overcame. You take on all the things that he battled and tarried for us. And I realized this, that in that Garden of Gethsemane, when I was getting down on my own willpower, and getting down on how many times when I try to break bad habits, my willpower is weak, I was so thankful in that moment that we serve a Jesus who didn't show us to lean into more willpower, but showed us how to lay down will, to lay down my will for my purpose. That he literally turned away from the Mount of Olives. He turned away from that will that he was struggling with. And he said, I give my will to you, God, and I go to Jerusalem to die for these people, to die for humanity, to die for their sins so that they can have eternal relationship. This ain't about religion. This ain't about repetition. This is about relationship, that we have a very mission, that when you start focusing on it, then all of a sudden, what bad habits? I got a purpose. Can we stand in the presence of God? Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption.
Hey, I hope you were blessed by that message. We release new content every single week here at Vive Church. And so if you don't want to miss any of it, I would encourage you, go ahead and subscribe. Also visit our website, vivechurch.org, to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the life of Vive Church. God bless you.